feel no repent. There's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does a place you call to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service? Body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here has ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Abby. Okay, we're going to sing Faith of Our Mothers, 567.
sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Mother's Day. I guess thinking of our moms, it always gives us just a warm feeling. You know, you remember their tenderness and their loving. They're always being there for us. And what did the football players say when they get on TV? It's always, "Hi, Mom." And anyways, I guess what I'd like to say is, how's your thermostat today, ladies? We, as mothers and wives, are the thermostat in our home. And we've all heard the saying, if mama ain't happy, help me out, ain't nobody happy, right? And I know at times it's very true in my home. If I'm grumpy or if I'm uptight, stressed out, things are happening and I need to get things done, and I start reacting, you can see it go right down the line. And there's a lot of us in the family to go right down the line, and everybody's pulling their hair out. But I need to stop and check myself. How is my thermostat? And at times, I need to give myself an attitude adjustment. And whether that be sending myself to my room and taking some time out at that time to pray and read the Bible. Sometimes it's to eat a chocolate. And those hormones are wonderful, aren't they? Anyways, I guess I need to check myself. And in Psalm 144, verse 14, it says that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out. I guess the part I wanted to focus on, that there be no complaining in our streets. And I say that to my children all the time, except I change it to that there be no complaining in our home. Because it really wears on a person. You know, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and how come this, and how come that? And, you know, I'm guilty of it myself. And I need to constantly check myself. And in the old Webster Dictionary, to complain means to utter expressions of grief or to lament, to utter expressions of resentment, to murmur, to find fault. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. You know, I can find fault in just about anybody, and myself included. And so hopefully we won't have that type of complaining in our homes. And I came across this really neat illustration. It said, once a man came upon three rock masons at work. "What are you doing?" he asked of them. One man answered, "I'm carving these stones into different sizes." The other guy says, "I'm earning $6 a day." And the third one says, "I'm helping to build a great cathedral." Only the last one had caught the vision of the great work that he was helping to do. And there's an analogy to that. Once a woman came upon three mothers at work, and she says, "What are you doing?" she asked all three of them. One of them says, "I'm doing the weekly washing." The other one says, "I'm doing a bit of household drudgery." And the last one says, "I'm mothering three young children who someday will fill important and useful spheres in life. And wash day is a part of my grand task in caring for these souls who shall live forever." And so I need to stop and think, which one am I? I used to have this little ditty
dirty diapers are the are my lot in life. And but anyways, it was only the last one that had caught the vision of what we're doing, and we all need to sit there and think, you know, what is our vision? What is our goal as a mom and a mother? How is our thermostat? What's my attitude? How am I looking at this situation, and how am I reacting to it? And let's see, in Proverbs 31, we learn of the virtuous woman, and we find that she is far more above rubies, and her worth is much more than rubies, and her husband trusts in her, and it goes on to say much about the Proverbs 31. And I had I used to get this magazine, and this woman says, well, you know, if you want to be a Proverbs 31 wife, you have to do this. You have to garden, and you have to crochet, and you have to do this. And, and I'm going, well, I don't like to do any of that. and I don't know, I'll never attain it. But that's not, you know, we can't say that you have to do these things, because each of us has our own gifting and our own calling and our own strengths and weaknesses. And we just need to live up to those, and so that our children can rise up and call us blessed.
At this time, I would like to have some volunteers to tell a little bit about what Mother's Day means to you. Now, don't all jump up at one time. Or you could say something to your mother, or, you know, whatever it might be. But mothers are very special, and we should have that opportunity to say something really good about our mothers without hesitation.
I really am thankful for my mother. She was a Christian woman. She had accepted Christ as her Savior as a young child. She was raised in a Christian home. And so, therefore, she knew a lot of the little things to do for us to encourage us in Christ. And I'm thankful that her mother was an encouragement to her, and she was an encouragement to me. And the other thing that I'm very, very thankful for is that by their help, I was able to raise a Christian family also. And now I'm seeing my two sons get married to Christian wives, and the one son having a child and expecting another one. And I see that the most important thing is not where they are, because they're far away in Texas, and that makes me grieve in my heart. But I do know that they're Christian, and that they love each other, and that they're raising their child in a Christian way. So I'm very, very thankful that I have passed in my past, I have Christian people, and now in my future, further down the line, is going to keep on going. So I thank the Lord for that.
I'm really glad for my mom. I owe much to her, because when she was young, she had a pair of twins, and then she had another girl, and they all died. And she prayed to the Lord and said if he would let the next one live, she would raise that one as much as she knew how for him. My mother was Catholic at the time. And so I was the next one born, and I feel I owe a lot to her, because I loved the Lord ever since I was young. And I remember when I was real young, probably 4 or 5, I dreamed that a couple angels had taken me up into the sky. And I always remember that real short dream and loved it and thought of it many times through my lifetime. And I'm so glad the Lord has been very real to me, and very, very real. And I sure appreciate having known the Lord and been able to raise my family to love the Lord while they were still young. You know, if you start through the Lord when you're young, it has a lot of benefits. Because if you don't, the children can grow up to drink and smoke and swear and do all those things. And I really, really
Anybody else?
Well, I have this thing with my mom. It's nice to have her here. I might not always be. But one of the things I'm most thankful for is that she was raised a Lutheran, which a lot of them love God very much too, but yet searched for a closer walk with God, and that I was able to, from her learning, have a closer walk with God before I was, an older woman. But I really want to thank her for her encouragement as a mom and a wife, that these are the days that are supposed to be the greatest. And sometimes I say, how can that be when my laundry is this tall? It's nothing but hot dogs for supper again tonight. But she continues to encourage me. We'll bring down the cinnamon rolls, and that'll be our supper. And just knowing that it's okay to not have a clean house, and it's okay to, to sit down and play with the kids and read with them. And definitely take off with your husband and spend some time with him. So and all those things, it's not about having a clean refrigerator all the time. I think that her walk with God has taught her that it's okay to not be perfect. And that the little things in life are nothing to struggle over. Just keep going and know that a guy has a plan. Take time to let it show to you. Listen.
Very good.
Thank you. That was very good.
I guess the draws another one. Yeah. I think I have to give my mother credit for giving me the perspective to keep things, you might say, in a proper perspective, that these things will pass. This too shall pass. And it's all, and what will be done according to God's timing. And then I just want to say thank you to my mother-in-law. I feel like we've got a Naomi Ruth relationship, and God has so much blessed me with a very, very sweet mother-in-law, and I have learned lots from her. So I am grateful to the Lord for that. But, you know, when Mary was talking, I thought, this is a generation on a generation thing, you know? So, and that's what it's all about, it's generation on a generation.
That's right.
So, praise God.
Good.
The next and the oldest generation. I'm very grateful for Audrey and my family, and grateful to my mother. I'll cry probably because I do that.
That's all right. I'm crying already just hearing everybody, so that's okay.
But my mother had a real hard life, but she never complained once about anything. But, you know, others knew what life she had. And my grandmother, she was walking in her mother's shoes, too. It was the same thing. Like, they just took it daily and did the best they could and loved the Lord. And this is on the father's side now. My father was nearing death, and my mother told me this, but I was only 6 when he died. But he said, little woman, he said, it's the only thing. And she said, what, Dad? And he said, be right with your maker. And so I take part in that I know where they are. And God bless you people here.
Thank you.
Sometimes we don't know where, you know, what's going to happen and what's in our future. And when we trust in God, at least we know where we're going. Anybody else?
I don't want to talk, but I have to say I'm very thankful for my mother because, like with the rest, she raised us to know right from wrong and to know that we could always go to her dad if we ever had any problems or needed anything, and they've always, both of them have always been there for us, for every one of us kids. They helped each one of us get a start all the way along.
Well, my mom, we went to the Nazarene Church. My parents did. That was my dad's doing. He wanted to go there. That's where he went for many years. And he had a pastor there tell them that you have 9 children. Don't expect all of them to be saved. And my mom said, more or less, that's what you think. I do expect everyone to be saved. And she had family worship with us every night. And she prayed for us. I remember my mom praying out loud while she was doing everything. She doesn't do that as much as what she used to. But I tell you, every day I would hear her singing and praising God, doing all her chores. She was a very good mom. And I can talk to her anytime, and she's always there to listen to, as well as my dad. Very thankful that God gave me the parents I did, that he did give me. Anybody else?
To live close to my parents, and I am, and I appreciate it. This morning, this was a mother-daughter banquet. I have the 2 boys, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do with my 2 boys? Because who babysits for me? My mom. So I just have to say how thankful I am, and that I have both of my grandmas and my grandpas still alive, and my kids. They just adore all of their grandparents. In the example that we see throughout. So now, four generations here today, not just through me, but Michelle. And so I can just see how from my grandma to my dad, from my other grandma to my mom to me, to my kids, and I just so appreciate it.
Doesn't mean we're not going to go through struggles, but I tell you, it's a lot easier knowing that Jesus is up there listening to our prayers and can intervene where it is needed. So, anybody else?
Anybody's going to do anything else. But as I, Rachel stayed overnight with me last night, and this morning when she came down the stairs, I hugged her and I thought of my grandmother. I didn't have the time to go. And I just want to, I hope Rachel is sitting there. And she gets older, saying, I didn't want to go with my grandmother. And we went to California last or we could go with it. And just precious memories. Precious memories that can be passed on and remembered.
Yeah. It's true. Don't take grandmas for granted because they'll be gone someday. I'll tell you, I just told Tim a couple days ago. I said, I sure miss my grandma. She taught me how to crochet. I mean, she taught me things that my mom couldn't teach me. Even, you know, my mom never learned how to do that, but my grandma was there teaching me how to do that. Grandmas are very special, too. I do have a little talk, and I cheated. I did cheat. But I thought this was good. I got it off the internet. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Since then, the popularity of Mother's Day has continued to grow. 20.8 million Americans will call their mother today or tomorrow, and 125 million Mother's Day cards will be given, compared with 75 million to the fathers. That shows you right there how much fathers are very important, but the mothers are the ones that nurture them. The fathers a lot of times are the disciplined ones, and the mothers are the nurturing along with the discipline. I'm glad we have Mother's Day, but it certainly is a shame that many people all across the nation actually need a holiday like this to remind them of their mother. It doesn't mean that they have a bad mother or that they are simply ungrateful. It most likely means that we have a disrespectful generation that doesn't honor their mothers like the Bible commands us. Here are six different ingredients and qualities that would certainly help the mother and others as well, according to the book of Proverbs. Number one is, marry the right man. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. The plague of many teenagers in America is the dilemma they have in finding a spouse. The problem is that according to this verse, we are to secure God's will for our lives before building our house or a family. If you are still unmarried, then you need to make sure that you marry the right man. You first secure God's will for your life. If you are surrendered to full-time Christian service, then that will narrow your candidates for your spouse. So that means you better be finding your husband in a church or in some Christian atmosphere instead of going into the world trying to find a husband, because likely they won't be the right one for you and you'll have a life of misery. Make sure you are equally yoked with the direction of God's will for your life. Find your will and make sure that this person you are dating is compatible with the direction you are going. Don't be changing your mind. If God has led you in a direction and there's a guy coming and saying, no, you don't need to do that, this is what we need to do, you're not on the right direction. And then again, your lives will not be happy. May I take a moment to remind everyone that I don't encourage teen dating. So many teenagers today think that's all there is. And it's really hard now with our new laws for our children driving. They can have only one person in the car with them. And we found out by Ryan getting stopped last night that they have to be over, how old, Ryan? They have to be a licensed driver even. So they're kind of promoting teen pregnancy and whatnot by the kids having to be alone in a car, which is, we never realized that. I knew that you could have one, but I didn't realize they had to be licensed. Those of you who are already married, you are already convinced that you're married, the right one for you. You commit yourself, you dedicate yourself, you will keep the commitment till you go to your grave. Okay, the first step is for a great mother to marry the right man. Number two, obey the Great Commission is the second ingredient for great motherhood. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. In order to increase in wisdom, you need to win souls. People who go soul winning are the ones who usually have their lives together better than the rest of the world. You need to seek to obey the Great Commission. Then you will soon have children who follow your obedience because of your obedience. You will find that God will grant you the wisdom and clarity needed to make in decisions concerning the children's direction in life. Not just mothers ought to be soul winners, but everyone in this room who is able to present God's simple plan of salvation should go out and tell people. And the Great Commission is a command and not a gift or a choice. God tells us that is our duty, to go tell other people. It's not our choice, it's God's choice. Also, it is a solution to the world's problems. Win them, baptize them, then teach them to win souls. Okay, so we have marry the right man, obey the Great Commission, and number three, train your children in a much-needed ingredient to great motherhood. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from you. Pastor has spoken that many times. Please, if you are able to have children, then have them. Don't be so selfish of yourself and disobey God's command to be fruitful and multiply. Sad to say that we have an entire generation of children that have not been taught or trained in the ways of life. That is why so many second and third generation of children from Christian homes often do not get saved. Train them in the ways of life. Train them in cleaning, in sports, Bible reading, in prayer, soul winning, tying their shoes, going to church, brush their teeth. Well, it's not really a chore going to church, but it is something that we need to instill in them. I've come across way too many children that have not been taught their manners. I've been a Girl Scout leader. I tell you, those kids can't even say something nice. They know how to do it, but they can't smile even to somebody else or say something nice to them. They said, we don't agree with that. And I'm like, you know what? If somebody was having a bad day and you put a smile, if you smiled at them, and put, they would smile back at you. Well, we don't want them to. This is what the world, the society is. I had 20-some girls, and I tell you, it's hard because they feel that it's all me. It is not anybody else but me I'm looking out for, which is really sad. That's the new generation. Not all, but a lot. We need to teach them, please. Thank you. We need to teach them, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We need to teach them respect. Quite frankly, mothers are the hope for the next generation. If they do what they are supposed to do, then our kids will turn out right. Not that they won't make mistakes, but they will turn out right. Even if they stray, they will come back. So we have marry the right man, obey the Great Commission, train your children. Number four, to be a great mother, you are to honor your parents. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother's. Let me give you a future spouses, something to look for in them. If they are rude or disrespectful to their parents, even to their step-parents, they will be rude to you. I've heard so many people say, well, just because they treat their parents like that, they love me, they won't treat me like that. They will. So we need to teach them to be respectful. We need to make sure that those, we can't teach those to be respectful, but we need to look for that respect at how they treat others. Even though you are no longer living under the house you grew up in, but you continue to give your parents honor every day. Because if you're not giving your parents honor, your children will not honor you. We are showing our children how to act by giving them honor. You honor them, ask their advice, you help them in any way possibly, physically, spiritually, and financially. I know my parents have did that many, many times when we've needed them. By any means, don't let your parents run your life after you've been married and moved out. Okay, guides to a great motherhood includes marrying the right man, obeying the Great Commission and being a soul winner, training and teaching our children how to live life, honor your parents and your spouse's parents. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Enjoy your Christian walk with happiness and joy in your soul. True happiness is found within the covers of the Bible. You stay within the guidelines that God had laid down for you. Then you will find the happiness that God had set apart for you to have. The Bible is the fence that tells us that we have the liberty and freedom within the confines of God's law. While sin is everything outside of that fence that leads us into trouble and away from God. And every time you are away from God, you cannot enjoy the Christian walk. So have a good time living the kind of life that God would like you to have. Marry the right man, be obedient to the Great Commission, train children, honor your parents, enjoy your Christianity. And number six is request wisdom from God. Proverbs 5 through 7, I'm not sure what's that. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and withal thy getting get understanding. Continuously get wisdom from God. This should be a constant request to God. Request it over and over and over again. Because without wisdom, there is no understanding. Get as much as you can. Maintain a close walk with God. Read your Bible daily. Study. Meditate. Pray continuously. Always ask God for guidance and direction and wisdom in making a decision. It amazes me how flippant we are in this area. Before touching electricity, what do? We study up on it. We read books. Before taking legal actions, we consult a lawyer. For taxes or complicated issues, we'll go to an accountant. But in making decisions and raising our children, treating our husbands, or living a proper Christian life, we fail to consult God through prayer and his Bible. Part of the wisdom includes going to church and listening to the pastor and the teaching of God's word. So, we have M, Mary, the right man, O, obey Great Commission, T, train your children, H, honor your parents, E, enjoy the Christian walk, and R, request wisdom from God continuously. That is mother. That all stands for mother. Okay. Does anybody else have anything I miss besides my mom? Is anybody else who has a poem or a song or anything they would like to do or share with us?
Well, Valerie asked me to write a poem for Mother's Day. I never got it done. It was one thing and another. And anyway, I wrote this for her about a month and a half ago. And she said, Mom, you've been writing poems. I want you to write one for me. So if the other girls ask me, I would have to do it for them too and would love to do it. But it does take time and thought. And so this is a poem I wrote for her. And I hope you will like it, even though it isn't really a Mother's Day poem. And I addressed it, Valerie Marlene. There's a lovely little lady, she lives just south of town. Her face is soft and pretty, her hair is golden brown. It cheers our heart to see her and to know that she is near. She is like a ray of sunshine that's been precious through the years. She takes us where we need to go and helps us when she can, helping us through the ripples of life until things get smooth again. She's busy with her family, and she's busy with her friends, and sometimes here on earth, her tasks never seem to end. Then her husband comes along and says, "Honey, let's go here or there." And he hustles her away with little time to spare. So like the folks around us, their days are busy too, with three young people to guide and the challenges not a few. God gives grace to the humble and to those who ask in prayers, and he will bless our daughters as she gives to him her cares.
Missionettes come up. I have not been here enough and to get a program and stuff for our girls. They are a lot of fun. If they would stand up, who is here? There's some that could not come. You want to stand up? But they are a lot of fun to work with. It is a pleasure to work with each and every one of them. So maybe next year we'll get something together. I would ask that you can sit down. Share and pray for our food downstairs. We're going to pray. We're going to eat. And then I have a word find to work with your mother. And then we're going to eat. Then we're going to do a craft. We're going to have the guys clean off the tables, and then we're going to do a craft. So, Sharon.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. For this time that we can remember. And that we can recommit our lives, Lord, to you to be better mothers, Lord. We ask you to bless this food to our body, Lord. And we thank you for the Valerie and her commitment to the missionettes. And we just praise you that she has been a servant of yours. In Jesus' name, amen.